Hey mamas, I'm Alyssa, registered dietitian, picky eating specialist, and mama of two. You're listening to the Nutrition for Littles podcast, aimed at helping you raise healthy, independent eaters. Each week, we will tackle topics like picky eating, mealtime struggles, baby-led weaning, and so much more. Let's jump right into today's topic. Hey, 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 and welcome back to the Nutrition for Littles podcast. Today's episode is kind of a fun one. I also feel like it might go in two different directions. So stay tuned as I try to formulate one thought with two thoughts that are currently thoughting in my head, thoughting. All right, so I started outlining this episode thinking I wanted to kind of, demystify or debunk certain things that a lot of parents say, both about picky eating, but to their picky eaters as well. And so I was trying to like think through some of these things that I hear parents say all the time to me or in front of me, or they say that they used to say or whatever. So I was like coming up with this entire list, and then I was realizing this theme. And so, maybe I'll do it this way. Can you spot the theme as I talk about this through the episode? And then at the end, I think we're going to wrap it all up with a nice shiny bow with the theme that I realized and witnessed while coming up with these things that people say about picky eaters and to picky eaters, and see if you can spot the theme with me. And then that'll be a great way to think both my thoughts in one episode. Hi, my name's Alyssa. I have undiagnosed ADHD apparently, but this episode is, I think, going to be really effective because I hear these things all the time. Okay, I want to start with five things that parents or people say about picky eaters or picky eating, and let's start by debunking some of those things or kind of unraveling them to talk through whether or not that's true, whether or not that's accurate and really represents picky eating as a whole, right? So here are the five phrases that I came up with that I hear most common about picky eaters. I hear parents say, well, at least they're eating, right? Usually in reference to, well, they're eating bread, but all they've eaten for months is bread, but at least they're eating. It's just a phase, right? This is often told to parents by pediatricians, by other friends, maybe by their spouse or partner, or even to themselves in their own head that it's just a phase, which leads into the next one, they'll grow out of it. They'll grow out of it is another one that's kind of along that phase of it's just a phase. It's the idea that if you just wait it out, it will end itself. It'll take care of itself, which goes along with the next one. It can't last forever. This is often told to parents when they're feeling despair, frustration. It's been a really long time. They feel like the tide should churn by now. Like this idea of it being just a phase should have been over by now. So you might hear or say or think, gosh, it just can't last forever, can it? And another one that I hear a lot of times passed around from mom to mom, doctor to mom, doctor to dad, dad to dad, mom to dad, all the things, dad to mom a lot. If they're hungry enough, they'll eat. Okay, so let's walk through these. Now, these are all things that I have thought. I'm talking a lot about my thoughts today. These are all things that I have thought. These are all things that have been said to me. These are all things that have been said in front of me to someone else. These are all things that I've collectively heard from parents literally across the world of phrases that are commonly said. Some people agree with these phrases. Some people don't agree with these phrases. And what I want to go through and say is that these phrases aren't necessarily untrue. However, I don't think they encapsulate the entire picture of what's going on. What I see typically happens with picky eating and parents of picky eaters is they are completely shrugged off, that their concerns about how little their kid is eating, what their kid is eating, you know, how often their kid is eating, whatever it might be, is just kind of brushed aside. Like, it's fine. It's just a phase. Don't worry about it. While at the same time, we have this messaging that is constantly berating us as parents. If you're anything like me and you like step foot on the internet or anything, how important these first 6 years are for their development, 7 years, you know, whoever you're listening to, right? It's somewhere in that first 5 to 7 years. Some people even up to 12 years. I mean, honestly, our whole life is important for development, right? I'm still changing and growing. But the point of the matter is we're getting these mixed signals of, hey, that thing you're worried about and concerned about that you keep bringing up to me, don't worry about it. They'll grow out of it. It's just a phase. It can't last forever. If they're hungry enough, they'll eat. You know, these phrases are kind of things essentially that are said to parents to brush them off. And literally out of the same mouth will say something about how important these first few years are. And we get confused and frustrated, and it's conflicting in our brain. And I don't know about you, but I'll tell you my experience with dealing with this conflict, internal conflict of these messages kind of just like out of tune with each other, for lack of a better way to say it, is essentially it would create this situation in my life, kind of like a roller coaster, where I would be like all in on reversing picky eating, or feeling like, gosh, this is a problem. We have to solve it. We have to solve it. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And then I would hear these phrases enough, or I would think these things enough, or, you know, I might hear someone else's story and I'll go, oh, you know what? It's okay. We don't have to worry about it. I'll throw my hands up like, I don't care. I don't even care. I got no worries in the world. I ain't got time for this. I don't think it's something to worry about. There's nothing I can do to change it. What's the point, right? And I would kind of like throw in the towel, give up, let it go, hope for the best, right? And then time would go on and nothing would change. And I'd be like, okay, how long am I supposed to assume that this phase is going to last? How long can I hold on to the belief, or the really what it is faith, that they'll grow out of it? How long can I have this belief that it can't last forever, right? And then I would go back on my tear of, no, we're changing everything and we're doing all these changes and everything's going to change from here on out. And then I would get defeated and feel frustrated and be back at it again, right? And so the problem with these phrases is they are shrugging parents off. They are not taking their concerns seriously. And it's kind of like telling a parent, like, there's nothing you can do, just wait it out. And that is so not true. I want to take out a billboard, put it in New York Times Square, wherever the most amount of people are going to see it, and tell them that that is not true. In fact, you, specifically you, as the parent of your child, are uniquely positioned, to reverse picky eating in your little one. That you actually have direct influence and direct impact on what your kid eats, how they eat, if they eat, what foods they choose. All of these things are within your control, especially in these years. And that's what's so interesting sometimes, is that actually this is when we have, some would say, the most amount of control over our kids eating, because they are eating with us. They are in our home majority of the time. This is when we're spending the majority of the time eating with them, out of probably any time in their life, right? And so you have that power and influence over your kid. And I have never heard a story of someone saying, without any intervention by the parents, without any sort of change, without any sort of using the tactics and strategies that I teach, whether inadvertently or on purpose, they knew it was happening or not, without any of those strategies, parents come and tell me, oh, my daughter just decided to start eating broccoli today. Like, she woke up and she was like, you know what I want for breakfast, Mom? I would like some broccoli. Please steam it up and serve it on over here, right? Like, I don't hear that story very frequently. And so what that says is actually it is our responsibility. It is within our wheelhouse. It is something that we can control. Now, that doesn't mean we can control it all, right? I'm not talking about controlling your kid and demanding that they eat and pushing all this pressure on, which we're going to get to, them to eat. But what I am saying is that instead of kind of releasing the handlebars, releasing the reins with their eating, we can actually hold on and say, no, I do have sway here. I do have influence here. There are things I can do. Now, let's take a beat, take a second. This does not mean that if you have no capacity, if you have no energy for it, that this is your hill to die on right now. I am talking to the parent who wants a change in their home, who believes that it's possible, but is being told the opposite from other people, to remember that no, you do have direct influence over your kids' eating habits. You can play a role in teaching them how to eat, helping them make good choices for their body, and learning and discerning what types of foods serve their body. And you have influence and sway over the choice for them to actually eat the food that you serve them, right? Like, there is a say here that you ultimately are in control of. And so by no means do I mean that because you are uniquely positioned, you have to do this. You do not have to reverse picky eating. Now, I can launch into all the reasons why reversing picky eating and getting your kid to eat a varied diet is important. I think you already know this, but in case you don't, some quick hitters. Variety in your kid's diet is the number one impactor on them having a healthy gut, and their healthy gut controls almost every area of their health, that imaginable, truly. It is their sleep, their moods, their emotions, their hormones, their ability to actually digest and absorb different nutrients. It's their vitamin deficiencies. It's their brain health. It's their growth. It's their cellular and mitochondrial health. It leads to, you know, their mental health is directly affected by their gut, all of these things. Gut health is so, so important. And the number one way that we can prepare and create a healthy gut microbiome is by increasing the variety in our kids' diet. And what do picky eaters not have? Variety. Okay, so that's like a quick rundown. And that is just one area of why picky eating is so important to reverse and to fix. Now, again, that does not mean you have to. It is not, if it is not causing you frustration and worry and stress, and you are not worried about your kids' health in that way, or you don't have the capacity, that's okay. It's okay to put that on the back burner for now. I know firsthand as a mom of three that there is only so many things that we can focus on and help and fix and all those things. I also know that picky eating, the pain that it was causing me, the frustration it was causing me, the despair that it led me to with my kid in feeling like I couldn't cook what I wanted to cook. I couldn't buy the food that I wanted to buy. I couldn't enjoy mealtimes with him, connect him over meals 3, 4, 5, even 6 times a day. We were getting into power struggles, had me at literally the edge of my rope. And so picky eating for me was like, this is the thing that I need to change. And by reversing it, it was really interesting. It subsequently helped other areas of his life and therefore mine. Mood swings become lower, sleep issues become a little bit less tumultuous, certainly have not gone away, at least in my home. No promises there, but I know other families that it has when they've reversed picky eating. You know, you start to be a little bit less stressed because you're not spending all this money on groceries that then you spend all your time cooking, that then you spend all your time throwing in the trash after they don't eat it, right? Like there's lower stress overall at the dinner table. You're actually connecting with your kids. There were so many things that I didn't really recognize would be kind of a overflow or result of reversing picky eating in my life, my quality of life, my connection with my kid, and also his individual health, right? Like I wasn't so stressed when he would have to go on antibiotics for something. I knew that we had built up a really healthy gut. Anyways, this is like 3 rungs away from where I wanted to originally talk to you about, is that I know we all have our capacities. And obviously I'm passionate about this. So there's that. I want to talk to the parent who's has this crossroad, has this internal dialogue of, I know this is important. I feel it in my bones. I want to do something about it, but the world is telling me that it's just a phase and I should wait it out. And that is why I'm dismantling those beliefs. I am dismantling and demystifying and reversing and debunking whatever word you want to say around those phrases that we often hear as parents. You do not have to live by that. You do not have to believe that. You do not have to accept that. You can do something different, okay? The next few phrases that I wanted to go over, and this is where I think you'll really start to see the theme of today's episode kind of come through, is 5 phrases that I oftentimes hear parents or sometimes grandparents say to their picky. All right, so we've got, what do you mean you don't like it? You ate it yesterday. Or, you're so picky. How about, you don't even know if you like it or not because you haven't even tried it. Just give it a bite. These are growing foods. If you don't eat them, you won't grow. Just 3 more bites and then you can have some ice cream. Okay, now, full stop. These are things that I believe, I think that I have said almost everything on this list to my own kid. I don't think I've actually called him picky, technically, to his face. Obviously on the internet, I have talked about his picky face, so there's that. So this is in no way to like call parents out and be like, you're a bad parent for saying these things. Absolutely not. In fact, all of these things are said with love, right? The reason why we're saying them, the reason why we're uttering any of these phrases to our kids is because we know that they need to eat to be healthy. We know that logic is like, you haven't actually tried it. How do you know you don't like it? That's true. Like to an adult, that would make sense. It's said with this thing of love of like, I want you to grow and succeed and be healthy and happy and not have a tantrum later and go to sleep tonight and not wake up hungry, right? Like that's the desire behind it. So there's a heart behind all of these phrases. That means you're a really excellent parent if you have said or thought these things. And the theme through those phrases is pressure. And this is what I think dawned on me relatively recently is we oftentimes think, I've tried everything. I've tried everything. Oh my gosh, I feel like I've tried everything. And what we mean is I've tried everything, and ultimately all of those things that I've tried to say or to do falls under the umbrella of pressure tactics. And this is what I teach. Pressure tactics, although 100% come from a place of love, actually make picky eating worse. They backfire. They might work for a day or two, and then ultimately they backfire. We might say to our kids, what do you mean you don't like it? You ate it yesterday. And that might work. They might take a bite and be like, oh yeah, you're right. We might say, oh my gosh, you're so picky. And they might feel like, man, mom really thinks I'm picky. I guess I need to eat this food to prove to her that I'm not, right? And they're making a change. So in the moment, it's like, oh, that's good. But long term, they're actually doing it to please you and to avoid getting called picky versus actually eating. Or you might say something like, these are growing foods. If you don't eat them, then you won't grow. Or just three more bites and then you can have ice cream, right? Like those tactics. What was really funny for me when I was struggling with picky eating in my home, they did work. Like I would say them and sometimes they would work and they would result in my kid eating. But to really define that word work, I'd have to zoom out and say, well, it worked for a day or two or maybe a week, but ultimately things either got worse or they stayed the same. It fizzled out. It stopped working or it made things worse. And I was in a deeper hole than when I started. And so if you can relate to any of that, I think you'll recognize that, yes, you're saying these things out of love, but what it's actually doing, like the intent is to love them and to teach them and to use logic and to coach them into what they should be doing, which is eating. But the impact of what actually happens for your kid is they feel pressured, they feel shame, they feel embarrassment, they feel ostracized, they feel like they're in trouble, they feel like they're not pleasing you. And we as parents, inadvertently, of course, are using those emotions to get them to do something we want them to do for their ultimate good. But those emotions that we're creating in them is actually going to be the thing that boils over and explodes in a way where your kid is now only eating fruit and bread, like my kid, or your kid is now eating less and less foods. Because let's be honest, food, it is so important to our health, well-being, literal life, right? Like it is life-giving to eat. And so what that does is it creates a perfect place for your kid to dig in their heels and to get into a power struggle with you, because it is literally life-sustaining. This is not a power struggle of like leaving the park or going to the park. This is a power struggle over food. It becomes a perfect breeding ground and opportunity for your kid to exert their dominance, to exert their autonomy, to learn, you know, the back and forth dichotomy between the parents and authority and what their boundaries are. And they're testing all these things as they should. But when we respond emotionally, we get angry, we get frustrated, we get we cry, we get, we feel like we use guilt or we try to convince them or whatever it might be in those situations, it just breeds this like negative energy around the table that then creates more and more pickiness because it's setting up the perfect fertile ground for power struggles and for back and forth. And ultimately, as parents, we don't see a way out. Because when we say, I've tried everything, nothing has worked, what we usually mean is I've tried all these pressure tactics. I've convinced them to eat. I've used logic. I've made them sit at the table till, you know, their bedtime to eat. I've made them to go to bed hungry. I've made them, you know, finish this plate of food 10 times until they actually eat it or whatever. I've raised my voice. I've given them the silent treatment. I've offered them ice cream or candy or sweets if they finish their food. I've praised their brother and sister in front of them and told them they should be more like them. I've used sticker charts. I've, you know, whatever the tactic might be, all of these tactics have one thing in common, and that is pressure. We are adding pressure, hoping that that pressure changes them. Likely because we are not dumb, it has worked in the past. We're smart. We're like, this has worked in the past. I just need to do more of this. I need to try this again. I need to go back to that. It worked. And what we don't realize is we're kind of creating the exact problem that we're hoping to avoid. We might just be kicking the can down the road, but ultimately we end up with a pickier eater. And so with this in mind, knowing that these phrases that we're being told and these phrases that we're saying to our kids aren't working, and kind of creating this perfect environment of that roller coaster I was talking about before of like, I'm all in and I'm trying to fix this and now I'm out and I'm throwing in the towel and nothing is working. We kind of think of this all through together. thinking through, okay, if I am positioned in a place to help my kid change their eating habits, and if there's something I can do about it, right? It's not just a phase. I don't have to just white knuckle it and make it through it and hope and pray that my kid changes their diet one day. And if there is a way to not add pressure to my kids, and if the environment that I'm creating at the table inadvertently out of a place of love is actually making it a place full of pressure and ultimately going to boil over, if it hasn't already, into worse picky eating, then what is the answer, right? What is the answer? And this is what I think is really helpful for parents with picky eaters. We have to figure out what's causing the behavior. We have to figure out what's initially causing the behavior and what is intensifying or kind of thickening or habitualizing the behavior. And once we figure out the why behind their picky eating behavior and fully understand our child's needs, it becomes so much easier to reverse picky eating. And this is something that I teach a bit about in my free class. So if you haven't taken that, I'm going to link it down below. But this is something that I go deep in on in my course. And so with that, I wanted to let you know that if you're a podcast listener, you are getting a sneak peek of the fact that my course that has helped 8,000 families reverse picky eating for good is actually going to be on Black Friday sale next week. Early Black Friday, it starts Monday on my email list. If you're on my email list, you'll learn all about it. If you're following on Instagram, you'll learn all about it. I will be sure to link it here in the podcast as well. I'll have a podcast episode going more into it. But I did want to give you that heads up in case you were interested, in case you've been waiting, in case you're one of the people who have DM'd me asking when my Black Friday sale is. It is coming early this year, and it is starting on the 11th, and it is half off, which is a legit Black Friday sale. That is the thing where I think people, Black Friday's gotten a little diluted lately. I feel like things are like 10% off and 20% off. No, this is half off my course plus a whole slew of bonuses as well that you get for free. That's some exciting kind of insider information that you get as a podcast listener. I'm so happy that you're here and subscribe to the podcast. I hope this episode was helpful. At the very least, I think these phrases, I hope it just empowered you to know that you don't have to believe those things necessarily or take them wholesale, like complete, and know that although yes, picky eating is a phase, and although yes, it might be something that your kids grow out of, or it might just last so long or whatever, it doesn't have to be that way. And sorry, just to throw this in there, I literally can throw a rock right now and hit an adult who is picky. And sometimes I think people will say like, oh, they'll grow out of it. Have you met a picky adult? Because you likely have. And it very well does exist. Not to mention, even if they do, let's say, grow out of it on their own, or it is quote unquote just a phase, some parents and a lot of parents who follow me have been in this quote unquote phase for years. Years of their kids' life, years of your parenting life. If you have multiple kids, that is, you're edging your bet. You know, you're really getting up there in the years. And so I think my main message is for you to realize you don't have to buy those phrases hook, line, and sinker. You don't have to take them wholesale. You don't have to, it's not that it is or isn't a phase. It is a phase. It just doesn't have to last as long as some phases last. So if you've been dealing with picky eating for longer than 3 months, that's my cutoff to say like, that's enough. Please, can we please reverse it and get started here? And then also, at the very least, the phrases that we talked about talking to your picky eater, we can just avoid those. And sometimes parents are like, well, what do I say? I actually have an episode. I think I have an episode on what to say to your picky eater. I know I've talked about it in my email newsletter as well. But the biggest thing is you can just be silent. You can just sit and not say those things anymore. That is such a good first step in that direction. Just not commenting on it is such a great first step to take if that's something you find yourself saying a lot. So I hope this episode was helpful for you. I hope I see you here next week for the podcast episode that's going to drop. And I hope I see your name on the list for that Black Friday sale. You can always DM me if you want to learn more about it, or email us at support@nutritionforlittles.com to make sure it's a good fit for you. But otherwise, I will catch you next week. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you're walking away with some tangible ways to bring peace to your mealtimes. And if you like this episode, please subscribe and tell all your mom friends. And as always, the best compliment you can give me is leaving a rating and written review, which also helps other mamas like you find this podcast too. You can find more from me on Instagram @nutritionforlittles. Do you have a question you'd like me to answer on the podcast? Email me at Alyssa@nutritionforlittles.com. All right, until next time, mamas.